thankfully for you, and you get to see family and visit family. Maybe Thanksgiving for you is about food, okay? Hopefully this year is about some seafood, okay? But either way, Thanksgiving is about food. Thanksgiving for me is great because as soon as you hit Thanksgiving, you get in the car, you turn on the radio, first thing that you hear, Christmas music is here upon us, and we now have 30-something days where everyone is in a cheerful mood because it's Christmas carols. Okay, that's what Thanksgiving is. And if you're one of the crazy people who likes to go shopping, Thanksgiving for you may be shopping. Maybe Black Friday deals, Best Buy, all that kinds of good stuff. Either way, we can all agree, however you celebrate Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is a good time. Okay, it's like a cheerful kind of a spirit. But apparently, someone missed the memo today in the church that it's Thanksgiving weekend. Because if you paid attention to the gospel wasn't very cheerful and uplifting. Our Lord Jesus Christ seemed to have missed the message. Listen to some verses that he said in today's gospel. He said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Now here's the question that I'm asking you, and I'm asking the gospel this morning as I'm reading it. Why is Jesus so uptight today? Why is he so uptight? Why doesn't he relax a little? It's Christmas. It's Thanksgiving. Why doesn't he relax a little bit and enjoy the mood for a little bit and just give us one weekend just to be happy, just one weekend? And then we can go back to the tough stuff later. Especially, I came in this weekend, like you probably came in this weekend, tired, busy, stressed, frustrated. I came in all those things, and I'm coming here to get less of that, not more of that. Like I came here today to get relief. I came here today that I would come to him with my burdens, and that he would relieve them. Not that I would come with my burdens and he would give me more burdens. In addition to all the stuff that you can't do and that you fail to do, you have to hate your mom, hate your dad, hate your brother, hate your sister, hate your wife, hate your kids, hate yourself, carry a cross, forsake everything. Like already I came in with a plate like this of stuff that I can't get done, and he's just throwing on there more stuff that I really, really can't get done. There's only one verse in this whole gospel that I can kind of relate to. And that was the last verse, last two verses, when he started to talk about salt. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out." The only verse that kind of makes some sense to me that I can kind of relate with is this stuff about salt. Can you relate to this verse about salt? Because maybe sometimes in our life, maybe you may be in a season right now where the salt has lost its flavor. The salt isn't adding the spice that it used to. My relationship with God is dry. I try, but it's dry. My relationship with people, as much as I try, just can't. Salt has lost its flavor. Inside, you know, in here, in this place, no matter what's here, and here, no matter what's here, here, lost its flavor. Start to use words like frustrated. Start to use words like tired a lot. Tired. Start to use words like I just need a break. I need rest. I need relief. I need a microphone. This work? Okay. I need rest. I need relief. I need a break. You start to hear words like, "I hope I don't get to this word, but I hope I don't see the word hopeless coming. I don't see the word despair. I don't want to see those words. I don't want to see that B word, that burnt out word." And sometimes you start to feel like that when the salt has lost its flavor. And then again, here I come to you, Lord, and I'm coming for rest. I'm coming for relief. And you seem to be in a grumpy mood today, just dumping more and more stuff on me. Doesn't the Lord know my needs? Doesn't he know? And doesn't he care? The answer for today is answer is not just yes. It's yes, 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 yes. It's of course yes, absolutely rest, yes. And believe it or not, the theme of all the readings today, remember we talked about this before, you can't just take one reading in isolation. We can't just take the gospel. We're going to take all the readings together. And the theme of all the readings today was about rest in Christ. Don't believe me? Let's take a tour through some of the readings. These were the psalms that were read to us last night of Vespers, this morning, just now during the liturgy. They're both actually Psalm 86. That's a typo. They're both Psalm 86, one from verse 2 to 4, one 15 and 16. First, last night's Vespers got a psalm. You are my... Tell me the theme that's coming through these verses. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant. I love that last... Rejoice in here. Rejoice the soul of your servant, Lord. And then the Psalm 86, verse 15 and 16. But you, O Lord, are God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. So first we had rejoice the soul of your servant and then give strength to your servant. This is not a mean God that's coming through these psalms. This is a kind God, a giving God who's trying to give us exactly what we need. Keep going. Gospel last night of Vespers, Matthew 11, verse 20, or chapter 20, Matthew chapter, again, that's a typo. It should be Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, the Pauline epistle, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. This is St. Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. That God would give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. What's that word that I underlined up there that was came through all of it? Is rest. Come to me, I give you rest. May God give you rest who are troubled. Let me ask you this. Is there a sweeter word in the English language than the word rest? Is there anyone who come here today doesn't want rest? Rest for my body. Rest for my mind. From all the stuff. Rest from my emotions. And good Lord, most of all, rest for my soul. Everything that I want in life. You want to get me a Christmas present? You want to know my Christmas wish list? Rest. That's it. Everything that I want in life is embodied in that word rest. And there's nothing, if you give me rest, I don't need nothing else. Rest is the sweetest word. And we love that word rest. And that's why we are willing to do anything to get it. We are willing to do anything to get rest. Don't believe me? Not only do we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, we celebrate another holiday, Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving. What happens on Black Friday? The crazies come out. And anyone who's got a crazy piece inside them, it comes out on Black Friday. And the craziest thing inside all of us, to go to great lengths and get up very early and stand in lines and fight crowds and parking and annoying people and all kinds of stuff we do. Why? To buy something in the hopes that this will give me rest. This gadget will give me rest. Or, if you're not a gadgety kind of person, we do the same thing on Thanksgiving weekend. We want to be with this person and be with that person and be with that person in the hopes that when we're all together and I'm in this environment, I'm at rest. I don't have to think about it. I'm at rest. How much money we spend on going places and buying stuff just to give rest, just for the briefest period of rest. We spend so much time, so much energy, and so much money to buy rest. No wonder we're so tired. We spend all of our money, all of our time, all of our energy to get rest. No wonder we're so tired. Answer is, only Jesus gives rest. This is a no-brainer. Only Jesus gives rest. That's what he said. Come to me and I will give you rest. He didn't say go. You don't need to go to a mall to get rest. You don't need to go online to get rest. You don't need to be with people to give you rest. You don't need to go to a movie to give you rest. You don't need to teach. You don't need any of those things to give you rest. You need Jesus. And until you learn to come to Him to find rest, you'll always be tired. True rest can only be found in His presence. That's why He says, come to me. Let me ask you a question. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Is it hard to come to Him? Is that a hard task? Doesn't seem that hard. Come, show up, get rest. Do we like it? No, we hate it. I hate come to me. I hate it and you hate it. Because it's not tangible. What I wish it had said, I'd have felt much better if it said, run around the church 10 times and I'll give you rest. Okay, I can do that. Read all these prayers and then you get rest. Okay, I can do that. Even if it told me, hit your head against the wall 10, okay. He says, come to me. We hate it because it's so intangible. But that's exactly the point. That's exactly why he says it. Because he says it's not something you can buy or earn or figure out on your own. You can't get it on your own. You need me. I'm the only one who gives you rest. If I told you to do anything, how many times people come to me? Say, Boone Anthony, this, and this, and that. What do I do? Boy, you need Jesus. You need to spend time with Him. You need to go to His presence. Okay, what do I do? Tell me what to do. It's not something that you do. Because if I tell you something that you do, all you're going to do is focus on doing this and reading these words and spending this amount of time and fasting this amount. You're going to focus on this, and this has become now your answer. Man, this can't give it to you. Nothing can give it to you. Only He can give it to you. I can't tell you what to do to get rest, but I can tell you where to go to find it. And it's in His presence. And the one who wants to find rest will not rest until he finds the presence of God. Look at this verse. This is your 911 verse. Okay? In emergency sake, you go Psalm 911. Psalm 91:1. Great verse to memorize. Even more better to live it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that what you want? Doesn't that sound nice? Doesn't that sound nice? How can I rest under the shadow of the Almighty? Easy. Come and dwell in that secret, hidden place. How many of us are willing to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and wait in lines and try to do whatever it takes to get stuff? Then it comes to God's presence and all of a sudden we're tired and busy. How many of us will scour the internet and the coupon thing in the mail and ask around to find the best deal? Find the best deal. And it comes to the word of God in 2 minutes and I give up. And you wonder why you're tired? I just think to myself, imagine if we took, here we are, St. Mark's family, here we are. If we took all the energy that we spend on trying to find rest out there, we took all that energy, we put it together, and we focused it on finding rest here. That's our gospel for today. This is where our gospel comes in. Our gospel for today, those tough verses about hate, those tough verses about forsaking, about cross, those tough verses, we're all to teach you this lesson. A true rest is not found in people or in stuff, but in His presence. Why do you think he said, hate your father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children, yes, even yourself? Why do you think he said that? You know why? Because in my opinion, in my mind, I think to myself that they can give me rest. That if my relationship with this person was okay, like if everything was okay here, I'd have rest. And if I could just get with my family and fix and all this, I'd have rest. That's why he says, that's not rest. I'm not going to give you rest. And if you think that's what's going to give you rest, I hate your family. I hate your mother and I hate your father because you make a god out of them and you make an idol out of them. That's why you have to first, I hate everything that you have because everything that you have you think will solve your problem. I hate it. And until you learn to hate it and forsake it for me, you never find rest for your soul. I love this passage from Deuteronomy chapter 4, in the Old Testament. God is teaching his people that they have to hate everything. What he says, take heed to yourselves lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. Telling them, watch out that you don't make idols out of stuff or people. Why? Because the Lord your God is a consuming fire, jealous God. You know why it has to be this way? Because our God is a consuming fire. Our God isn't a little God. He's a big God. And when our God enters into a room, everyone else has to leave. He doesn't share well. Doesn't play nicely with other stuff. He's a fire. Look, if I have a room, and I have a bunch of papers and books and stuff, and I have a fire in that room, one of the two's got to go. They can't both exist in there. Either the fire's going to eat the papers, or I got to get rid of the fire to keep the paper. Can't have both. And God says, I am a fire, a consuming fire. And if you want me, you got to let go of some other stuff. And you cannot seek those other things and me at the same time. Said another way, God isn't a stocking stuffer. God is a big present. And he's so big, he can only one that can fit under the tree by himself. Can't fit God and other stuff together. And maybe the reason that you can't find the rest is because you're trying to hold on to the other stuff. It can't work that way. You see, you think the reason you don't have rest is because of your circumstances. You think the reason you don't have rest is because the people in your life are not giving you rest. You think the reason that you don't have rest is because of the economy or the stock market or your boss or the president or whatever. Well, I got news for you. The reason you don't have rest is because of you. It's because you don't seek his presence. And that's why you don't have rest. And until you seek his presence, never find rest in anything else. Show you an example. Book of Acts. Story in Acts chapter 5. But one time the apostles, they went through a rough time. They were beaten, they were imprisoned, and they were tortured, and they were eventually let go. Look what it says here. Acts chapter 5 verse 40. When they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. What does that sound like to you? What does that sound like they were like this day? After being imprisoned and tortured and beaten and commanded not to do this anymore. What they were living for, they were commanded not to do it anymore. What does it look like to you? Does it look like people who have rest or no rest? How much would you give to have that? That no matter what happens to you, you can rejoice. How much would you give for that? How early would you wake up for that? How much effort would you put in for that? You see, we think we don't have rest because of outside stuff. Well, here's an example of people who had no outside stuff. No outside stuff at all. All their outside stuff was taken away from them. But they had it on the inside. I fear we're the opposite. That we have it all on the outside, but we lack the inside. That's a scary thought. Question for you. Who needs rest today? Man, if I asked you to raise your hands on who needed rest today, wouldn't be enough space. I think I'd raise both my hands and both my feet if I could. Who needs rest today? Ask yourself what you need to let go of. Ask yourself what you are thinking would provide it, and what you are seeking to provide it other than his presence. Maybe it's time to let go of some of those things. I'll tell you a story I'll finish up with here, a true story, personal story that I shared last week in Light and Life for those who were there. So for those who were there last week, be patient with me. Y'all can just get some rest, okay? Y'all can rest now for the next minute or two while I tell this story again. When God works in your life in a personal way, you like to share it, okay? Especially if others can benefit from it. So a couple weeks ago, I was out of town. I was in Nashville, Tennessee, okay? Nashville, Tennessee, and I was there for a couple days for a conference. And something happens whenever I go out of town. Me and God get much, I want to say closer. Our relationship is very active when I'm out of town. Somehow when you break the routine of things, God works in special ways. And I remember this trip. So I went into the trip, everything I said today, tired. Very tired. Very tired physically. But not just tired physically. The tired physically you can deal with. The emotionally tired, the relationally tired, most of all the spiritually tired. Like just need some rest, just need some relief, just need a break. One of those kind of times for me. I ended up finding one, but not necessarily in the way I'd expected. So while I was away on this trip, like I said, I need rest, I need relief, and I need God, you to give me some rest. And God spoke to me very vividly and very clearly. He told me something that I'm doing wrong. He told me an idol that I have in my life. He told me that there's something in my life that I have which I seek even more than him sometimes. Success. Me? That's me. This is my sin. That's my weakness. You have other weakness? This is my weakness. Okay? Is that I want success. I don't want money. That's not what I mean by success. I want to be famous. I just need to know that I'm doing a good job. That's it. And I don't even care. I'll be honest, no disrespect to you. I don't care if you think I'm doing a good job. I don't care if you think it. I just need to think it about myself. I just need to go to the end of my day, stand in front of my mirror, and just like the Wicked Witch of the West, mirror, mirror on the wall. Okay? I need to go to the mirror and see I'm a successful person. I'm not perfect, and I can't meet all the needs of people, but this is what's important to me, and I'm doing a good job of the things that's important to me. That became my God. And because I made that my God, you know what God does? Because he's a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. He made sure that I failed in every single thing. Isn't he good? I failed in that. I had a lot of success in stuff. But I didn't care about this stuff. Stuff I don't care, but the stuff that I care about, specifically, number one, first and foremost, my spiritual life, my relationship with God. I care that I'm close to God. And I care that I'm pleasing to God. And that I'm obeying God. And I failed. And every time I tried to obey more, and I tried to stop certain things and start certain things, I failed. God said, you're a failure. And I looked at some of the relationships around me which are very dear to me and which I wish I could invest more in. And I find myself failing in those things. And thing after thing that's important to me, I kept writing down in my journal, I'm a failure. And just so you know my personality, okay? I do my quiet time, I do my journal. My journal is very organized, okay? And very concise and brief. 2 or 3 bullet points, that's it. No sentences. Never write, never paragraph, never. Bullet points. This day, sentences. Paragraphs. Lots of commas. I wrote 3 pages in my journal this day. And the overwhelming theme was, you are a failure. And some of you are saying, that doesn't sound, where's the uplifting, where's the rest? Here's the rest. Here's the rest. Is that God told me that you're trying to find rest in success in these things. And you can't. That's why the more and more you think you're doing your best and you are doing your best. And you're trying to try, you're not going to find rest in those things. And if you think you are, I'm going to just keep piling it on and piling it on and piling it on until you realize you can't find rest in those things. So that night, I don't want to say I prayed. Okay? Because that, I mean, we all pray every day. That night, man, I found the presence of God. And anyone who says you can't feel the presence of God and you can't experience God personally and you can't feel his presence in prayer, wasn't in that hotel room in Nashville, Tennessee, room 104, whatever the name of that hotel was that night. Because that night, God was more real than you are right now. That night, God was more real to me than you are sitting right in front of me. And I found rest that night. I found rest. Hey, I'm still failing. I'm still failing. But I'm not seeking it there now. I'm seeking it in Him. Once you let go of what it is you're seeking rest in, and you cling to Him, you'll find rest. He promises it. Who wants rest today? Who needs rest today? He invites us today. Just come to me, all who are heavy laden, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who wants that rest today? God is inviting every one of us to fall on our knees and get it. Glory be to our God forever. Amen.